It's chi time. Time to tune in with your natural energy, your vitality, your resources, your resourcefulness, your ability to be able to relax and calm and be steady with all the eddies and flows of life. This is Chi Time with me, Clara Apollo, the home of Qigong on UK Health Radio. Well, hello, welcome into another edition of Chi Time with me, Clara Apollo, here on UK Health Radio. I'm a Qigong teacher trainer, and to be quite honest, Qigong has saved my life. It's kind of saved me from myself. I am here to share with you the various tools and techniques and methods that have helped me over the many years, and I might admit to how many years it is, oh, all right then, it's nearly 30 years that I have been grateful for this energy cultivation practice. And so this whole show is dedicated to Qi, natural vitality, life force energy, multi-dimensional connections. Oh my goodness, we have fantastic guests here on the show as well. The topics that we dive into are special. They're also very practical. On this episode, my guest is Adrienne Blackwell, and she is coming over from, or she's tuning in now from California. She used to be, I don't know if you still are a celebrity psychic, Adrienne, but you're, no, she's shaking her head. But that's certainly part of your history. But yeah, studied a variety of healing modalities and just stepping more and more into the zone of the miraculous. And she has indeed a collaboration, right, a collective of us that are gathered together that she's called in to talk about the miracles in everyday life. And this is called Making Miracles Happen. So welcome indeed to Chi Time, Adrienne.
Hello. That's good to be here.
Yay. Here we are. So they say you're over in California, eh? I'm here in Glastonbury, England. And still we have the miracle of technology connecting us. And when you first asked me to be part of this collective and to tune into the miraculous in my life, in order to be able to share with others, I kind of really sat with that for a while, and I'm very intrigued as to how this landed for you as well. Why go down the road of the miracles? What was it that called you in that was particularly curious?
You know, I on September 3rd of 2020, my guides actually kind of came and spoke to me and said, it's time for you to start interviewing people again. And I was like, oh, you guys want me to do video? Okay, let me do video interviews. Great. You know, I just knew. It was just annoying. And I was playing with the idea of like, what do I want the name, the show to be called? Like, you guys have to guide me here because I don't know. So I actually had a coach. And this is why I advocate us working with other people and not just relying on ourselves. So I had a coach that says, what do you really feel like you do for people? And I just started talking about how I've seen all these miracles with my clients, and you know, I've seen miracles in my own life. And so she said, so your show is called Making Miracles Happen. And I was like,
this is it. We can go so easily into reinventing the wheel, but actually what is already here, you know? And has that landed for you? I bet that was like, well, of course.
It really was, which is really funny to me because I would never thought of it myself. Like, that's just the truth. You know, somebody had to come through somebody else to give me that message. And I was like, oh, I'm so thankful for help. I'm so thankful for clarity, you know, and the fact that I could clearly share that with her in a way that she could just say that back to me, that it's, you know, it's about miracles. So I'm like, oh, that's my life right there, is all about miracles.
Yeah, it is. And the miracle of life, the miracle of love, that amazing Eurythmics song, which I may play later. I'm not sure quite how the tracks are going here, but that's certainly one that's been playing around my mind since I knew you were going to come on the show. And then I was looking for like quotes about miracles. And there's a great one by Hans Christian Andersen that says the whole world is a series of miracles, but we're so used to seeing them that we call them ordinary things. Isn't that intriguing? Because, you know, the dictionary is saying that that it's an exceptional product or achievement. Something's miraculous. It's out of the ordinary. So we've got that, absolutely. But we've also got the everyday miracles as well. And is this something that comes into what you're weaving together in Making Miracles Happen?
It is, because it's fascinating to me how many speakers come in and they're like, I don't know if I have any like really big, like miraculous stories. And I'm like, what do you do on a day? How did you get here? How did you get to do the work that you do to where you're changing people's lives? And they're like, oh. Like even sometimes I'm helping them discover their own miracles, because I'm like, we live miracles every single day. You know, why are we only looking for these big miracles? I actually have an exercise for people to do in my class, which is called the Master Manifestor course. And I tell people, you have to remember the evidence. You have to write down the evidence as you see it, no matter how little it is, no matter how big it is, because there's going to be days where you're in pain, you're suffering. You forget the miracles during those times. You forget that anything ever works out for you. And it happens. It happens to each and every one of us, unfortunately. And if you can just go back and read that book, you're like, I have an evidence book. I need to go back and read the book. You will see how many miracles you actually have. But if you don't keep a record of them, you're just trying to grasp at one big one huge miraculous thing. And when you write them down on a regular basis, you see how many little miracles happen every day, to where it's just like, oh, miracles are normal. This will work itself out.
Miracles are normal. I love it. Oh. And I think that also, when we acknowledge that miracles are part of our everyday existence, we realize that our actual existence is a miracle. You know, like, and I'm stating the obvious here, but actually, how often do we think about that? Again, because we're so used to being who we are, we don't
Not
notice.
often, not until we hear the science. When you hear the science of how many births don't make it, and you know how many times and tries it takes to get you here, and how the body generally rejects the fetus, you're like, oh, this is a rare occurrence. This is rare.
And so I
That's it.
often like, refer to that, you know, the fact that we've made it here, that we're already succeeding. You know, the whole sperm and egg thing got here, you know, of all the other ones that didn't. So within us is the ability to succeed and to make miracles happen through us. And I think children get this. They have that miraculous quality to how they play and how they be. And then we get societyized, and we kind of get all these layers on top of us, don't we? But peel them back, and there we still are as the miracles of existence. So I wonder how, you know, how when we travel, because you've done some traveling, haven't you, in your past, and whether that shift when you did your traveling, let us know where you went and what went on there, whether that was a perspective shift, and maybe you noticed more of a miraculous way of living or perspective then from traveling.
That's an interesting question, because absolutely. Me getting to where I was going was a miracle, because I didn't have the money to get there.
Oh, okay.
I was when I think I was 20. Yeah, this was a long time ago. My friend had a dream, and I encouraged her to go after that dream. She said, well, I'm not going without you. And I was like, what? And so she was like, you know, that's New Zealand. She had a dream of being an actress. The show she wanted to do, which was Xena Warrior Princess, was in New Zealand. So she was like, you'll probably get acting jobs over there. Just like get your headshots, get this, get that. So I spent all my money. You know, I just had a new child. Like she was getting ready to be 2 years old, you know. And so one day I actually called her up and I said, I hope you're still willing to go by yourself, even if I can't go. And she goes, it's a guy, isn't it? I was like, a man would never stop me from going somewhere and trying something new. I said, but it's financial. I was like, I don't know if I can get the money together to actually go. And she goes, oh, that'll be taken care of. It's no big deal. And I'm just like, and she was 16 years older than me. So thank goodness for her wisdom, because that was the first time I ever heard anybody so certain that even if we don't know the way, we don't have the way, we can't imagine the way, there's still a way. And she was the person who first introduced me to the idea of a miracle, which is just expecting the best to happen, right? So I'm like, this chick is crazy. Like, she thinks that money's gonna just come out of nowhere and that this thing is gonna work out. It's just, where am I gonna get the money from? I don't remember how the money came, but I remember the money came. And it was so easy. It was so simple. I didn't have to think twice about it. And we ended up going to New Zealand, and that stripped away everything that I had ever known. I mean, you don't have your accents that you're used to being programmed with, because people don't realize even what you hear and how you hear it becomes a program. And so when you go somewhere, you like the only person who has the accent that you share is your best friend. Programs start to go out the window real quick. You know, you start to live a completely different life. You know, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, so it was immediately, you know, you go into fear when you think about psychics. You go into fear when you think about astrology. You go into fear whenever you think about any of these things. And here I am, like, I'm getting ready to go get my first reading. And it's like nothing because I don't have a program telling me not to do it. I was terrified at the time, you know, sitting there, I was still terrified, but there was nothing to say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And so, yeah, a lot of my old belief systems, a lot of my ways of thinking, my whole entire experience there for the year I was there. And yes, I did end up landing a bunch of acting roles. Just like she said, she had so much faith that things would just work out, that it changed everything I thought about life. It changed everything I thought about manifesting, creating. Everything changed in that time frame. And even just to give you an example, you know, being there with a 2-year-old, I finally realized, I don't know if this acting thing is really going to work for me. Maybe I just want to travel instead of work, because I didn't know people there. And I don't know if I want to just let anybody watch my 2-year-old. Mm. So one day we're sitting there and we're thinking about manifesting. And we ended up doing this exercise where it's like, when you go to a restaurant and you tell a waiter what you want, in with the idea that you're going to get it, not with the idea that they don't have it. If it's on the menu, it's there, right? So we were giving each other our orders of what we wanted. And I would write down her order. She would write down mine to the universe. And that was it. You know, we just expected it to be there. And so my order was, and if anybody's ever been in the acting community, you know how impossible this really is. In the acting community, any other actor would have been like, what? For us, this was just the norm. So my whole idea was, first of all, I need an acting job where I have a speaking role because I don't do extra work. But they specifically asked for my daughter, and it's within travel distance. So I don't want to travel a large distance with my daughter, and that they would specifically ask for her. Like I needed to be specifically asked for her. So we were signed up with this one agency. She convinces me to go to this agency that's literally like right across the street from us. I think we had to walk like 2 blocks. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I don't do extra work, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as we sign with them, we hit the door to leave. And she's like, oh, wait, I got a phone call. I have a job for you, but it's extra work. And I'm like, didn't this woman just hear what I said? Like, I was actually upset. And she goes, but your daughter can go and they will pay her for it. And I looked at my best friend and she said, do it, just do it. And I said, okay. Now remember, we're talking about miracles here, right? Just remember this. So I said, okay, I'll do the extra work. So I go to this job and I swear I recognize these people. I'm in New Zealand and I swear I recognize these people. Like, I get there and I'm like, I know this actor. Where do I know this actor from? So everybody's coming to us like, we're stars. Like, thank you for bringing your daughter. We're so glad that you're here. What brought you here? Like, people are sitting down having conversations with me while we're waiting to do our scene. So I leave. You know, that was a great day. I leave. About a week later, I get a phone call from my agent and they're like, you know that show you just were an extra on? I'm like, yeah. And they were like, they're asking for you back and they're specifically asking for your daughter. So it's a speaking role. They want you back. And I'm just like, what? What? Oh, really? And they were like, yeah, they specifically asked for you. You don't have to audition. Oh, that was the other thing that I said I didn't want to have to audition for it.
You've already done it.
That was the impossible part, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't have to audition. They specifically asked for you and they're asking for your daughter. Just make sure you bring your daughter. Now the universe was so, heard me so clearly that my agent called me a second time and said, hey, don't forget to bring your daughter. Like, why am I going to forget to bring my daughter? Right? What? 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm supposed to be on set. I don't know. 11 o'clock. I'm asleep. I'm getting some good sleep.
Yeah.
My phone rings again. It's one of the producers of the show. And she was like, hey, I'm just calling to make sure you bring your daughter. And I'm like, universe, I hear you. I hear you. My agent already told me, thank you. She goes, oh my God, I didn't realize it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I've been on set ever since 3. It feels like it's, you know, midday. I'm so sorry. She goes, I just wanted to make sure you brought your daughter. You know, I'll see you in the morning.
So
I heard you. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
And that was a big deal for me.
that the universe was trying to make sure that you had heard what it was giving you. And yet when we place our cosmic orders, we don't then go and mess about with the universal dinner lady, do we? We trust that she's going to bring it in for us. And so I'm intrigued because Adrienne Blackwell is here with us on Chi Time on UK Health Radio. We're talking about making miracles happen in your life. And we're at the time in the show when we're going to drop a track in. And I know that you've chosen a couple, and I'm wondering which one may be related to this this trip out to New Zealand back in your 20s. Is that?
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
My best friend, who is the one who got me there, because I encouraged her to live her dreams. And she was like, I don't want to do it without you. And I start realizing these miracles. She was like, have you ever listened to this whole CD? You know, CDs were a thing back then. You didn't just download your music, right? Mm-hmm. And I loved every song on it, which was unheard of. Like, I still don't think I've ever listened to anything where I loved the whole entire track. And it was such a spiritual track for me. And so, you know, you have the Native American sound, you have one of them is like the X-Files song, and you know, but it's all about believing, you know, I really want to believe. And so it's like it's all, every single song resonates with me on a really, really deep level. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I've been listening to this for 22 years, this music.
Yeah. So I would like to choose I love them both as well. When you suggested them, I'm like, oh, these are very close to my heart too. There's something very connective to the ancient ways as well as nowadays. There's something about the rhythm and the beat. And I think that I would like us to choose the Deep Forest one for this particular piece. And there was something very clever about how this has been created, but it also feels like it's really honouring the traditions of the native peoples of the world, the ones that do hold the wisdom, the ones that we need to listen to. So indeed, this is Deep Forest with Deep Forest.
Somewhere deep in the jungle are living some little men and women. And maybe they are our future.
Italia,
love it when a bit of Deep Forest drops into Chee Time. Thank you so much, Adrian, for choosing that track for us here. Ah, there's a real rhythm that's rolling through us all now because of that track. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
We're here to talk about The Miraculous, and you were speaking before the track about going over to New Zealand when you were younger with a two-year-old. I didn't realise you took your daughter with you. That is brave. That really is stepping out into the unknown. And how many of you have done something not dissimilar when you've just followed a feeling that you know is the right way, even though it doesn't make any sense to your logical mind? And how many times have you needed a friend to reassure you that it's okay, just keep going? So we are in this together, aren't we? And particularly at this time that we're in, where I feel like, as you know, that humanity is manifesting the future, this role of creating miracles is really, really important. And you have a series going on now for the whole of October called Making Miracles Happen, which you can find on makingmiracleshappenseries.com. And this range and variety, I mean, I think you've got nearly 50 people on that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. We're going to hear all kinds of miracles.
All kinds of miracles. So at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the amazing miracles that do seem to happen out of the blue. And there's going to be some of those in this series, isn't there?
It is. You know, I've interviewed all of these amazing people, and we have it under the idea of celebrating Halloween. And I know that's an American thing. That's really big in America. Not necessarily in the rest of the world. But what I love about the idea is, like, even the first episode that we're airing on October 1st has to do with what Halloween really is and the origins of Halloween, and trying to bring us back to really our roots of celebrating holidays for the spiritual meaning of it itself. And then bringing those conversations, those topics, and those miracles. So for me, this is like a spiritual Halloween. So it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about miracles and how they're normal, but how some of us have had really big miracles. And some of those are near-death experiences, how people have died and come back. Wow. You know, the lessons that came with them when they died and they came back. You know, how you can go to another country, you know, with a two-year-old with no money and make that work for a year. Like, how does that work, right? So, like, all of these miracles, from the littlest, smallest, tiniest miracle to some of the biggest miracles, they're all the same. They're all the same frequency. They're all the same energy, and we can all experience them all. And when you hear stories, what I love about this is it's a storytelling special. So every person who's on tells a story. And the human race is so, you know, used to, it's in our DNA that we pass on stories and we learn through stories. Before our written history, we were storytelling. For Christmas, this is so fascinating to me. I couldn't understand why I was always so fascinated with spiritual ghostly things during Christmas, but it was a thing and it was strong within me. By the time November something hits, I start getting into the Christmas spirit. I want to hear ghost stories. So I did some research on it to find out that not too long ago, before ads came in and started telling us how we were going to spend Christmas by, you know, buying things and then gift giving, is what we would do for Christmas is actually sit by the fire and tell ghost stories. That was the tradition of Christmas. And so I'm sitting here thinking, wow, this was so ingrained until just recently, just until, you know, we really had like radio and TV that took over our lives, how we've always done storytelling. That was our tradition. That's the way we celebrated everything. And so when you look at, if you really want to learn, if you really want to grasp an idea, if you really want to change the way you think, you need a story that is so profound to you, you can't forget it. And one of these stories out of the 50 is going to be so profound to the person who listens to it, they're not going to be able to forget it, and it will stick with them for the rest of their lives. And it will remind them that miracles is possible when they think they're not. So that was my idea behind this special, this Halloween special.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. This bringing back real, true storytelling. It works on so many levels for us, doesn't it?
And it also
it gives us a chance to tell our stories. And I used to think that telling my stories, like, who'd want to listen to that? It's just my stuff,
yeah,
isn't it? And then you tell someone and something and they'll say, and they'll get something from it that you hadn't expected and you wouldn't have known about, because you didn't know what was in their sort of back catalogue, so to speak. So we make these connections, we join the dots psychically and subconsciously with the words and the languages that we use, but also the energy that we share at the time. It feels like there's frequencies that come through with our language. It's not just what we're speaking, is it? It's how we're feeling and what we're transmitting through that interaction that I think is the truth barometer of the storytelling world.
It is. And so everybody can tune into this for absolutely free and listen to these stories and change their lives. But I have something for you. You want to hear this one? This one's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to New Zealand with me. Okay. I'm going to tell you a story. So go back to New Zealand. I'm getting rid of all these fears that I've once had in my life based on my religious upbringing. And I read a book by Sylvia Brown, the psychic Sylvia Brown. And she talks about how to get in touch with your guides. Now, this is going to be terrifying for me because I've never heard that guides are something that's positive and that can actually exist within my religion, right? But I'm trusting the universe here. So I read her book. She has this exercise. And so at night before I go to sleep, I do this exercise, which is connecting to your guides right when you're in between that wake and sleep state. So as I'm getting tired, I start to connect with my guidance. And a man comes in the room and he's floating above my body. And I'll never forget, I thought he was a guide of mine, which in truth he was, but he was bald. He was like balding, beautiful blue eyes. He didn't have a physical body, but I have the physical, you know, it's like he's see-through. But I can make out what he looks like perfectly, like perfectly. But the eyes stood out and the fact that he was bald really stood out. And I remember him speaking to me. But he says something and he says, "Will you remember what I've said?" And I said, "Yeah." And in the morning when I woke up, I didn't remember anything except for the fact that he said, "Will you remember what I've said?" I get back to the United States at this point, probably like 6 months later, and maybe about a year or two being back, my best friend, again, everything that was fun and energetic and healing started with her, right? She invited me to take this class. And I didn't really have a babysitter. So she was like, "Well, let's just ask him if we can pay for your daughter to go." Because at this point, she's like three and a half, four. "We just pay for her per class and you can go." And so we went. This was like an hour and a half away from where we lived. We just decided to go to start taking this class and just bring my child along without even asking. Like, this is what kind of faith this woman had in miracles. So she brought him out. She told him what was going on. "We'll pay for her to be here. Can we do this?" And he said, yes. And when I walked into that class, it was the same man who had showed himself to me. And that was my medical Qigong teacher.
Oh, boom. Let's bring in the chi. What a elegant way to do that, Adrienne. Thank you.
Right?
That was your medical Qigong teacher that first showed up in a lucid dream.
Yeah.
And then you forgot what you were supposed to remember, except you remembered him.
I remembered him saying that. Yeah. I remembered he was balding. Like, I remember the face. The face was him, except for the blue eyes. But the blue eyes was that spiritual aspect of him coming. It was like his glow, because he had a glow around him. Right. And everything else, exactly. Like, when my mouth dropped when I walked in, and when we left, I said, "That is the guy I told you about that came to me."
Like, wow. Wow.
That's him.
So you knew you were meant to be there.
I was meant to be there. He had called to me, and what's so fascinating, you know, he's a white guy and he's one of the few that is considered, he's one of the few non-Chinese people who are considered a master and can teach this and be recognized in China.
Right. Amazing. Amazing.
Which is just really rare when it comes to being able to study there and them actually respecting, you know, usually you would be Chinese and you'd be born in this culture and stuff, right?
No, there's a whole cultural thing around Qigong, and there's a lot of respect for the Chinese culture for having honed those, you know, generations of energy cultivation that we don't really have over here in the West, but that we really need now. And so what drew you to medical Qigong, apart from him, of course, in your dream? But I mean, it was the medical Qigong.
Nothing.
You signed up for that.
Nothing.
Nothing.
If it were not for my friend saying, "Hey, I think we should do this."
Okay.
I mean, you have to imagine. I live 4 hours away from her, and then once I picked her up, I had to travel another hour and a half to get there.
Wow. So that.
And I would do this once a week.
That was a quest. You were on a mission. Women.
I mean, it was just she felt like I should do it. When I saw him, I knew I should do it. There was no question after that.
So this, as an energy worker, because you've also done, you've done what, over a dozen different healing modalities, including the Reiki and the reflexology and the theta. And so medical Qigong dropped into that. My sense around Qigong is that it becomes like the joining piece for all the puzzle pieces of our different modalities. It kind of helps to unify everything because it's about the energy of which they're all part of. And was that something that you noticed about it? Or
yeah, it was not the first modality I learned, and it was not the last modality I learned, but it was the modality that actually helped me bring all the modalities together so that I could create my own modality.
Okay.
Right. So I don't just use one thing. I actually use the medical Qigong part of it to bring it all together. And what I loved about the medical Qigong is like the exercises that we use to protect our energy.
Yeah.
That was fascinating to me because of how powerful we are as people. We can bring on and take on other people's stuff. And you can just do these energetic exercises that keep you nice and clean and strong and stable. It's pretty incredible. Like, this is incredible, right?
So much for mentioning these, Adrienne. Because with everything that's going on at the moment in the world, how do we presence ourselves in a way that we have the integrity or the coherence of our energy field to maintain that, but also to be able to connect with others? So, I mean, you mentioned this, I had that idea of building up the light quotient, the energy inside of you, the internal alchemy. And this comes towards the end of your Qigong practice. You'll have taken care of your physical body. The energy's flowing really beautifully. You can gather in your Dantian and roll it around your small heavenly circulation and then inform the Taurus field and then kind of get into the fact that you are like a cosmic being, have a human experience, but you have this center line that runs through you that is just, I was going to say, it's the best. Once you get in touch with that place, there's just something so very true and it rings true. There's like I can hear it dinging. I always want to ding one of my bells, that whole sound, the sound of chi or the feeling of those vibrations of healing energies within that you just know are right for you. And that connection we have with spirit and the earth meet in our hearts. And so when we can get to know this place in us and we then recognize it in others and we encourage it in others because we are able to be it ourselves, and that's where the connections and collaborations occur. And anyone that's not in that kind of frame of mind and not ready for that yet in their world, they won't generally be attracted to us. I've found they sometimes don't even see us, they're not interested, and that's fine because there's enough of us that are growing now, this great awakening that is occurring, more and more people are turning onto their light. So there's the frequency chat there, and I would love you to add something to that if you would, Adrienne.
You know, the only thing I can really add to that is the power behind the Qigong. And so many people, especially here in the United States, it wasn't until I took this class that I even understood it, you know, because we just see it as this movement. It's just movement, you know, it's just this little movement people are making. But yet that's where I found my power. That's where I found the tiger that came out, right? That's where I found the strength. That's where I found the protection. And because we're so limited in our eyesight, and I think we might've had this conversation on Making Miracles Happen, but we're so limited in our eyesight. I think it's like 0.003, something like that. We see into the light spectrum. Our eyesight is so bad as humans. We need glasses to see little things on the piece of paper and to see, you know, into the spectrum and to see, you know, night vision. We can't even see in the night. Okay. That's a problem. And infrared. There's so many different tools we need just to see. Yeah. But when you're using the practice of Qigong, when you're using that energy, energy becomes very easy to see. Even if you close your eyes and it's the mind's eye, you can see it pretty clearly. And we have no idea what our because of our eyesight being so bad, what our energy is doing. Because we have this massive energy around us. I mean, the physical body is such a very small part of who we are, that when we start to move the energy through Qigong, you start to do something. Your energy starts to do something. So what is it manifesting? Who did it just contact? Who did it just reach out to? Right? As we move that energy, what did it do to our internal organs to start healing something that is we don't know is there, or something that we haven't been able to heal before? What does it start to move? What does it start to talk to? What frequency changes? And so there's this whole unseen world that we don't even have to really discuss much anymore, because it's already been proven. Science has already proved that there's this unseen world that exists, that we just have to question, what are we not seeing? What is it doing? And how do we interact with it even though we can't see it? And I would say that's where Qigong comes.
Yeah, totally. Thank you. Beautifully said. It's this internal listening. It's having time to presence yourself in the now moment and notice what it is being you, being the miracle of you. And what are you being drawn to consider in that moment? And what is your system needing to tell you about, which you usually overlook because the mind can get so busy doing, but actually dropping into being. It's giving yourself to yourself, which is such a big gift. It goes such a long way. And like you say, you know, you're coming into healing. The body can heal itself. That is a miracle, is it not? That the body heals itself? I mean,
yeah, you get a cut, it closes.
Exactly. And yet so much of everyday life is around giving over your sovereignty of your health to someone outside of yourself who... Let's just not go down that rabbit hole on this episode of Qi Time, but I think you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So regaining and reclaiming that miracle of your ability to heal, I would say, is
I think it's a very important topic, though, that you brought up. So I'd like to just add something to it.
Okay.
It's not about us just completely giving away our power to somebody else. It's about being co-creators in our health. And so many of us won't educate ourselves. We won't learn.
No.
We don't do anything. We just like, hey, can you take over for us and just tell me what to do? Right? You know, what happens when you start to go, when you start to listen and you start to learn and you start to say, let me have my input in this. This is what I think. And here's a story that I have for you based on, you know, my friend who brought me into this whole entire world that fascinated me. It stays with me to this day that she told me the story. So again, she was an actress. So there was an anthropologist. And so one of the things that she had learned, because she was invited to do this, is medical students actually use actors a lot of times. And so the actors come in and play a part of the patient, and they have to practice their skills. And so one time she had an experience where, she comes in as an actor, and she has a set of symptoms that she has to talk about. And the student, you know, who's playing the doctor, had all these questions, you know, that he asked, like, what are your symptoms and everything. And then they're done with their scene, they're done. And the one thing that came up is, did you ever ask the patient what they thought was wrong with them? He said, no. They said, usually the patient already knows what's wrong with them. They've already diagnosed themselves. They've already had the experience before in the past. They just have a feeling. You have to ask the patient, do you know what's wrong with you? Or do you think you know what's wrong with you? And that was, do you need to hear anything else? We know already, to the point where they're learning to ask us, and yet we're forgetting to find out what's wrong. We're forgetting to listen. We're forgetting to be co-creators with the medical community, which is fascinating to me.
That also does bring up, sometimes we can go down rabbit holes of thinking something's wrong with us and that's not what it is. But what I love is that this co-collaboration, you could go to a healthcare professional and you could say, I've got this far, I found out this much, can you help me? I want to take care of myself, but there's only so much I can manage myself. And I must say that I find kinesiologists very helpful when you actually asking the body's wisdom what it is. So you're bypassing the mind that thinks it knows everything and goes into the wisdom of the body. And sometimes that can be that was pretty miraculous. When I first had some kinesiology, I'm like, whoa, that was incredible. Very useful tool, I would say. Look, Adrienne Blackwell, thank you so much for being here on She Time. I can't believe our time is nearly up. Oh dear. So quickly. But I know that there's an absolute wealth of miraculous uncoverings going on the MakingMiraclesHappenSeries.com that is on right now. And it will be on for the whole of October. And is there anything that you would just like to leave people with before we sign off?
Absolutely. You know, I use Qigong to create miracles. And so you can always marry these two, right? You can always look at Qi and miracles and actually put them together and create your own story. So I think this is just the perfect marrying of two energies, is to be on your show and you to be on mine.
Yeah, it's thank you. Thank you so much for being part of Qi Time and for doing what you do and be in the world, Adrienne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. I use Qigong to create miracles. Yes. Ah, thank you, Adrienne Blackwell, for making miracles happen. And thank you for listening to Qi Time, the miracles episode. I've got something very special to end with. But before that, remember that you can listen again on demand to all episodes of One Qi and Qi Time on ukhealthradio.com. And if you're drawn to connect with my online Qigong training, it's claraapollo.com. Or head over to Qi Time TV on YouTube, where you can see this episode in full video glory, minus the tunes, of course. But now, time for a treat. And if you're a regular listener to Qi Time, you'll know that the Taoist master and conscious music producer, the late, great barefoot doctor Stephen Russell, often features in the show. He would always remind us that the miracle is you. And indeed, he created a 6-part sonic series called Amped the Miracle, which you can find out more about at barefootdoctorworld.com. So here's a sample now of how to presence yourself cheerfully, to an amazing beat as well, for miracles to occur in your life. So till next time, keep your chi up, my friend, and thank you so much for listening to Qi Time with me, Clara Apollo. Here's Barefoot Doctor. Be the miracle you want to see in the world.
I see through appearances to the power and presence informing and animating all phenomena. I connect to the root. My miracles bear fruit. Because I connect to the root, I focus on the root as the root to shifting conditions I constantly. I'm even performing miracles in my sleep. If I feel my miracle power flagging and need to reboot, I just draw my focus back to the root. I see through appearances to the power and presence informing and animating all phenomena. And I connect to the root. I connect to the root. I focus on the root as the root to shifting conditions by quantum leaps. I'm even performing miracles in my sleep. And if I feel my miracle power flagging and need to reboot, I just draw my focus back to the root, back to the root. I'm drawing my focus back to the root. And I remind myself there is no order or hierarchy of difficulty in the miracles I'm wishing to perform. It's the same power, the same presence, informing all phenomena. Big miracles can happen faster than small ones. There is no hierarchy. But there is a hierarchy of priorities. The standard way, I notice, is to seek money to achieve peace. Miracle performance way, on the other hand, is to attain first to peace, to equanimity and equilibrium, and then the money and anything else I want will follow of itself. The miracle performing way is to attain to peace first, to equanimity and equilibrium, and then all the money and anything else I want will follow of itself. I attain to peace and the world justifies it for me by shaping itself in my respect to facilitate the peace I'm feeling. I attain to peace and the world justifies it for me by shaping itself in my respect to facilitate the peace I'm feeling. It provides the money, the companionship, the help, and all the resources I need to support me in a state of peace. The standard way is to seek money to attain to peace. The miracle performance way is to attain first to peace, and anything else I want will follow of itself. Money and anything I want follows of itself to facilitate the peace I'm feeling.
Listening to Chi Time with Clara Apollo on UK Health Radio.